to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Suck it.
Bitches.
All right, welcome to the Game Lounge. This is the Fisherman.
I'm still Farva.
And we've got a man here named Undead Dog joining us. How are we doing, Undead?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Now, for those of you who don't know Undead, now you got to excuse my voice. It's almost gone. Undead, for the most part, has been working for a Sarcastic Gamer for a while. He does a lot of designs. The latest Paxtra Life t-shirt, Paxtra Life, we're going to talk about here in a bit. He actually, you didn't just help design, you actually designed the whole thing, right?
Yes, I designed the t-shirt that they were giving out at the door, the t-shirt that you didn't get.
That one. I did not get, but that's another story. But he designed the shirt, very creative, pretty real fun guy. I've been hanging out with him the whole trip. He's been doing a lot of work for our site as well, so thank you for that. In fact, on our new website, the whole kind of look and everything, that the whole look that we have was actually created by DJ, so... Fuck you, it had nothing to do with you. But the...
yeah, I did the logo.
But the logo that looks so good at the top, that was all Undead. So, golf clap. Dude, golf clap.
But he's clapping for himself, and you're looking at me, saying I'm the one breaking the rules.
You have the worst golf clap in the world. You're like...
I don't go to a whole lot of golf matches, sorry.
All right, well, anyway, so that's Undead. So, Undead, tell us about yourself, and tell us about how much you've enjoyed spending time with me.
Let me just say, Farva sucks a mean dick, so that's been really great. It's just been a lot of fun hanging out with the Talking Ship guys, and I want to get to the Paxtra Life party real quick.
Hang on one second, because Farva and I went to something on Thursday night before the Paxtra Life party that you weren't around for. I want to talk about real quick. We were wandering around town on Thursday night, me and Farva and my girlfriend, and keeping up on Twitter with our boys from Sarcastic Gamer, and they we eventually caught up with them. We kind of chased them all over town because wherever we were, they weren't. Wherever they were, we weren't, kind of thing. We switched places a few times. But then once we caught up with them, they did us a big favor and got us into the Crisis 2 party over at this bar called All of Eight. And it was... a lot of fun. I mean, open bar. We get to meet all the people that, you know, we see online. It was a great pre-packed experience. Farva, what did you take away from that night?
Honestly, that Sarcastic Gamer crew, for the most part, are a real bunch of nice guys. We met guys that we ended up spending most of our time with here. Dark Wonders, A La Douche, Esmeralda, you know, Dave, Doc, Lano, all these
Havoc,
guys.
Yeah,
Havoc Saunders. Chubb, we didn't meet till the next day.
Yeah, 8-Bit was there. And
yeah, there's when it was, Jax. You know, actually, Jax, I met Jax like 2 years ago if I ran into her again. There was... Uh-oh, hang on, we having computer difficulties.
No, we don't. Keep going.
Keep going. anyway, what was cool is actually meeting these people, and it's really weird. Like, a lot of you guys, I'm sure, have no idea what I really look like, and I know my voice doesn't belie kind of my look, so it really was, it was almost off-putting how shocking, how wrong I was on some of these people, and so meeting them was really fun, but actually getting to play hands-on in the alpha, I've never played an alpha of anything.
No, you know, that was great.
And playing Crisis 2 was a blast. It was it was just a multiplayer setup. The game looked phenomenal. There's a little video up on our site right now that we took of that, which actually I was running through a part of the level that showed the level being kind of sideways, but because of the way Fish was shooting it, the level looked straight because the TV is now sideways because he had the camera at an angle. I noticed that when I was working the video, but it was a really good shoot, a really good game. That was a lot of fun. It was my first time really being around a bunch of gamers and with the developers and stuff around, you know, so they're coming up and asking me, and I'm like, really? Why do you want to know what I want, what I think? I'm a freaking retard. So, long story short, it was nice to have that before PAX, because PAX was that multiplied by 300-500 games.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe just because I haven't been looking for it on the floor, but I haven't seen Crisis 2 out there. I mean, they may not even have it on the open floor for everybody to play. So, not only us getting into this party helped us to get to know everybody, but we got to play a game that was unavailable to everybody else.
Correct.
And that was, I mean, big ups to the boys over at Sarcastic Gamer for getting us into that. That really helped us out.
In fact, real quick, Undead, what did you think of Crisis 2?
I wasn't there.
Okay.
Yeah. So Undead got in the next day, and that was an experience all its own. But so we woke up the next morning, got out to PAX, and spent some time on some games. We interviewed a guy about Catan. That's up on the site now. Catan on the Microsoft Surface. We played a few other games, and then eventually we headed back out because my boy Undead Dog dropped his car at a parking spot and outside of the city, and we were going to go get him. And that didn't work out so well, did it, Farba?
It turned into a comedy of errors. Essentially, he was hanging out in the store waiting for us. We looked up the store. We drove to the store. We drove to this wrong store in the wrong side of the city. It took us forever to get there. I was starving. I'm kind of chunky. So, you know, fat people not eating get cranky. It was unhappy. Me and Fish fought a little bit. We kissed. We made up. We picked up Undead. We got him into the kissing and the making up. We got some Subway. We went back, and we ended up playing some more games. And I think, long story short, it worked out for the positive. So we ended up getting back to PAX. What did you guys think day one, Friday?
Well, hang on. I want to ask this question because you guys, this is both of your first time. So what were your thoughts when you first got into PAX? Well, like when you first saw the expo hall and everything lit up?
Honestly, I was overwhelmed. I didn't know where to go, where to look, what to do. I didn't know how to stand in a line. I mean, it was like I didn't know if certain lines were for certain things, or it was literally overwhelming. And it helped that like I had been there before, so I was like, okay, I don't want to get lost. I'm just gonna tack on. I'm just gonna hold on to your coattails and just ride it through for a couple hours until I feel comfortable. And that was pretty much how I was. What about you?
Well, actually, my first experience was walking through the doors. We saw this gigantic dude dressed as Cassandra from Soul Calibur. So that was my first impression of PAX. And then once we got into the expo hall, yeah, it was pretty crazy. They had like screens up on the ceiling everywhere, and it was just the booths were amazing. And working in the print industry and knowing the thousands of dollars it takes to print these giant displays and stuff, I just can't imagine how much money it takes to put on such a great show. It was amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, did you guys see that epic Mickey booth? That thing, that's got to be the booth of the show. I mean, I looked at the map before we started PAX, and it showed Disney having these gigantic three blocks of space, and I was like, well, they just have Epic Mickey. I mean, I get that you want to show off Epic Mickey, but you don't need three blocks of space to show off Epic Mickey. Now, but that's not the only thing that they were showing, was it, Danny? What else did they have the booth set up for?
They had a lot of crazy sculptures, I guess I'd call them, with projectors on them.
Yeah.
And then they had an area where they had two artists actually drawing Disney characters for the fans, which I thought was awesome. The line was too long. I wanted to get one for my son, but just the fact that they were honoring the art of Disney and giving that to the fans and not just saying, hey, here's our new game that we want you to buy, that was great.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see how different companies set up their booths, because a lot of these companies just pack as many games as they can into this tiny little booth. You know, Disney obviously has the clout that they can pick up three gigantic booths and then in one huge space of PAX, not only put up these gigantic sculptures, but just leave it with these two artists at the stage and a room for a line to go all the way around. And it was really cool. And they were right next to the Nintendo booth, which Farva and I checked out. And we got to play a few of the new Wii games coming out. The first one that we played was Donkey Kong Country Returns.
And we sucked.
We were so bad at that. Well, it's my fault, Farber, because I chose level 4, which, unbeknownst to me, was the boss.
Yeah. So. And I guess, according to the guy who's running the little exposition thing, we were the only people that never beat the boss.
Oh, fuck that guy.
That's what he said, and he mocked us openly the whole time. He explained to everybody in line to not do anything that we've ever done.
That dickwad was talking trash to everybody that was up there.
It was actually, I think we were doing pretty good, because he was like, whoa, there you go, oh, he got, you know. But he was just, he was making fun of everybody. I think he's just a cynical little bastard who's, counting the missteps in his life. But it really was a fun game, so we played that. And we actually, let's just stay to Wii games real quick. Another Wii game we played that I fell in love with. This was, I think it was the first game we really played. And this was when I knew, I am so glad I did not trade in my Wii. I am glad this game is coming out. We've talked about it before, but having it hands-on was incredible. NBA Jam.
Up top for NBA Jam.
Dude, high fives to the...
There we go, all around. Okay,
yes, seriously, we kicked the shit out of the two guys we demoed with. We played, it was four players. The controls are so intuitive. The game is just fun. The only issue that we could come up with that is a fault for this game is the fact that it really is a crowd game, and playing it over the... I don't even know what they call it. We have the Xbox Live, the PSN. What do you call the link system with the...
It's like friend code or something, like Wii Connect. Is it Wii Connect 24? Is that what it is?
You know what?
That's something.
All right. When you link your Wiis up with somebody else's Wii... And you decide...
Like we're doing right this second.
Yeah. We're basically sitting...
All weekend, baby.
We're sitting in a circle jerk with a big microphone in the middle.
Oh!
We got our Virtua Cock in front of us. But, very nice. Very nice, sir. Sorry, it's dirty. I'm not even going to describe it. But the problem that you run into is, with that system, is there's, again, like the PSN. The PSN has at least some voice chat. It's not the best, but it has some. The Wii has none. And a lot of the fun of this game was the trash talk / oh my god, I can't believe you just pushed me into the stands kind of thing. And so it really was a lot of fun. That was where a lot of it came out of us. We were... It almost got bad to the point where we were so beating the shit out of these guys that every time they made a basket, we were like, you know, kids at the... We were like parents at the Special Olympics, like, yay, you know, you're running the right direction! Because it was brutal. But a lot of fun. Everyone was super nice. They had a video arcade cabinet of the old school NBA Jam, like the 1992 one that I used to play when I was, you know, going to the old arcades. That I put in for a drawing for. Who knows if I'm going to win? Everyone who played got to put in for a drawing. But just little things like that. It was a great game. So yeah.
Now they had it for the 360 there. What makes it a Wii game for you?
Honestly, a part of it is that I know the 360 version is going to be a stripped down version, but the controls are super intuitive. They are super fun. The ability to flick the your right wrist up. I'm right-handed, so that's where the remote is.
Yeah.
So I flick that up, you jump in the air, and you power it down. And you got to time it, because someone's trying to jump up, you know, and block you, and you got to try and time it to get your dunk right. You slam it down, you get a monster dunk. I can't even really describe it. It was just something about the way, because I knew I was playing a Wii game, and playing it with the controls was just fun. Now, I know you're going to be able to plug in, if you're a controller-based fan and you want the full game experience, you're going to be able to plug in the old...
Classic controller
and play it that way. However, I guess you get... We talked about this on a game launch a couple weeks back. I guess you get a bonuses if you use the Wii remotes, you know, the remote and nunchuck setup, you know, instead of just using... Because, you know, it is... It seemed tight to me.
Yeah.
I had no problems at all going where I wanted to go and doing what I wanted to do. But I guess when people are, you know, better with a handheld controller, it's a little better. So having the extra bonuses will even that playing field. And quite frankly, I would do it just to do it because I think it was fun.
And now Danny and I went and played it the next day I think it might have been later that day on the 360. And I was underwhelmed by that. It was... not nearly as fun as the Wii version. What did you think, Danny?
Well, I was kind of talking to Jax the whole time, and barely even playing it. I mean,
she blinded me with boobies.
Oh my god, it was great. We were playing with three guys. Well, we were three guys. There was one other guy. It was me and Danny and some other guy. And it ended up that Danny was on the team with the other guy, and I was on a team with a computer player. And you kept getting distracted and like putting the controller down, and so your guy would stay on the other end of the court while this guy, this poor asshole, is trying to cover me and the computer guy, running back and forth, playing defense on both of us. And you can just hear him scowling. He was standing right next to me.
Sarcastic Gamer made a great impression on that individual.
Yes, yeah, I think he'll be a listener and a viewer of the website for years to come. But yeah, no, it wasn't nearly as fun on the 360. It was prettier. It was a lot prettier. But that's just the way it goes. But it's going to be a stripped down. I mean, this is a Wii purchase. Absolutely a Wii purchase. And you know, while as Farva said, the one concern that we're left with is that this is a total. We were playing this game in a totally different setting than we will when it gets in our houses. You know, we were playing it around a bunch of people. There was lights, sounds. We had a full group the entire time, the entire game. And we had a hype man there, and he was, you know, he was shouting encouragements at us and trying to get the other team to, you know, play some defense. That really wasn't working. But I think people with kids that would play this game with their kids, I mean, this is absolutely a kid-friendly game.
Yeah.
And I think that's perfect. And I think if they can get the online set up, and like Farb and I have been talking about, getting the online set up, and then we'll connect online and go over to Xbox Live and get into party chat at the same time, I think that works too. You know, if you have that going for you, light that up. But yeah, NBA Jam was super impressive. And later on, we went and saw. After our PAX experience on Friday, we had the PAX to Life party. And the PAX for Life party was monumental. I mean, I didn't know what it was going to be like, but to go back and forth, because I was running back to the car to get stuff to help out, but to go back and forth and to get on the sidewalk and see the line go down the entire city block before people were allowed in, and just to know that's an SG thing. You know, those are my boys, and this is for Extra Life, and that's something I'm incredibly proud of. I was already just really pumped for it.
Yeah, what ended up happening was we were actually at the bar before PAX Your Life started. We were just hanging out, having a couple of drinks. Then, you know, Sarcastic Gamer crew, for the most part, most of them started showing up, started setting up. We started helping out a little bit and kind of got roped into just doing a couple of favors for them here and there.
Well, I want to talk about that real quick.
All right.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, go ahead. That's what we do.
The Talking Ship guys, Game Lounge, you guys made me so proud. You paid your $30 ticket to get in. You weren't staff of the site, but you could have fooled me, because, I mean, these guys, Chicken Sex, a.k.a. Farva, I mean, he was working the front desk. Dave was helping out getting the gear in and everything, and you guys were just phenomenal. I mean, you were helping us out in every way you could, and nobody really expected you to, and just thank you so much.
No problem. It's for the kids.
And I mean, you guys are our boys. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We're friends, and we're helping our friends out. And you know, y'all helped us out getting into Crisis Party the night before. We're helping each other out here, and you know, it's good to have that relationship. And absolutely, it was no problem. You know, it was great. I posted a comment on Doc's article where he was thanking people, and it was like, it was an honor to be a contributing part of something this special for us. That alone is enough, I think. Thanks to know that I was part of this, to be a part of that. That was great. And but then, you know, once everybody got in, we got this party started, and it was open bar, and it was supposed to go from 9 until 11, right, Danny? But then it turns out they didn't. Well, what they told me was that they hadn't had enough drink orders to cover their limit, so they extended those hours. They actually left the bar open until about 1 o'clock, which made everybody in the bar very happy, except the bartenders. They weren't really all that excited about it, but you know, they put on a brave face. They were great the whole night. At these parties, you with open bars and stuff, you're always wondering if you're going to be standing at the bar for like 40 minutes waiting for somebody to look at you and go get you a drink.
No, I probably didn't wait longer than a minute, if that.
Nah.
It was a lot of fun. We passed out T-shirts. People had a good time. Went downstairs. There was a little bit of food. No one really was there for the food. We were doing Rock Band. There were conversations going everywhere. Yeah.
Well, we also had a couple of musical performances. Who performed for us, Danny?
Man, Hip Hop Gamer was there, and he had a song that he did for some viral marketing for Mafia 2. And, well, he had a Hip Hop Gamer themed song before that, so really he did two performances, and it was just amazing. I mean, that guy was on fire.
Wow,
he really got the whole place pumped up. And then after him, an individual named Johnny Nero Action Hero. He does chip tunes off of his Game Boy, and he got up there, and man, I've never seen anybody with a Game Boy in their hand that looked like a rock star. I mean, that was just crazy.
Yeah, and if you want to see a video of that, we've got that posted over to the site, too. Just head on over to the gaming section, because I think with the amount of articles that we've been posting, it's probably pushed down off that wheel of front page articles.
Yeah. What was kind of cool with Johnny, like, Hip Hop Gamer, I missed. I didn't get to see him. I was upstairs. Johnny, I was literally like two steps behind him while he was performing. He was the nicest guy in the world. He's, you know, chip music, if you've never heard it, YouTube.
Then you shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, YouTube, it's pretty much just, it's 8-bit music. It's whatever was creating the music from the old, like, NES games that you used to love. It's that reshuffled and recreated for modern beats and this and that.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's an 8-bit techno. And he did a great job, but what was so exciting, he was so into it. I have never seen someone have such a happy seizure. And so that was a lot of fun. At the end of the night, a lot of money was raised for kids. Got to have a lot of good conversations. I danced like a freaking idiot.
In 8-Bit's crotch.
Into 8-Bit's crotch, yeah. I was really trying to seduce the 8-Bit. Had a great time, and so we ended up finally getting back to our Casa de Fish.
Yep.
At about 3 in the morning, and we slept all the way until 7.
7?
7-ish.
Got our asses up in the morning and headed out, and we went over and picked up Dog's Die. We were rolling with Dog's Die this weekend.
Now, Dog's Die. Dog's Die in hot cars. Hosts, co-hosts, main host of The Brown Show over on Sarcastic Gamer. One of the funniest Mormons I have ever met in my life. That guy was hilarious, and I was actually nervous about meeting him because I like to drink and I will swear on occasion. My humor isn't always of the most upstanding caliber, and so I was a little nervous about meeting him. But he was super graceful and gracious, just really funny all the way around. He was he played for us. He does a lot of parody songs. And I guess he actually stood at the door at the Pax Your Life party and sang spontaneously about everyone that walked into the building.
It was actually people that donated money. He would serenade them.
Oh, is that how
we did? Yeah, and he said he raised like $400 in just the singing.
That's pretty sweet.
That's crazy. Have you seen his video and his song to Lilu? That chick that was dressed up. There was a girl there that was dressed up as Lilu from The Fifth Element. And he kept singing to her about her multi-pass, and it's great. It's over on Sarcastic Gamer, the Doc's post. You guys should really go check it out. This guy is super talented and super super funny. It was awesome hanging out with him this weekend.
He's also super tall.
Giant. So we ended up picking him up, and along the way, we actually picked up our own little Sarcastic Gamer homeless guy. BSAA Vinny, I don't know if you're going to be listening to this later, is currently downstairs right now. I don't know, probably bathing in the sink. The guy looks like the prototypical homeless dude. He ended up being homeless because where he was going to stay ended up not working out. He ended up coming crashing with us. It's been a comedy of errors with this poor guy. Like someone else had his bags, and someone had his pass, and someone had this and that, and he's like trying to run. He's constantly trying to run around and figure things out. But he has been super nice and one of the funniest guys I've known. Just because, like, he'll just be like, "I don't know where my food is. I think my food's in this guy's car." And we're like, "Dude, let's just go. I'll buy you a sandwich. Let's just go eat."
He's actually been bumming passes off of other people to actually get into PAX because he could only get a Friday pass, if I'm correct.
Yeah, yeah. By the time he got around to actually knowing that he was coming, only Friday passes were available. And so
it was just, it's been a lot of fun. So it's just meeting all these different characters. Anyway, we all piled in. We went into Saturday. Now, I know we just talked for, God, probably 30 minutes on Friday. I don't want to run this show too long because it's Sunday morning. I do want to get in there. So a couple quick notes on Saturday. A couple games we played, ones that I really enjoyed. I did get hands-on with Epic Mickey. For those of you who know, I've been dying for Epic Mickey. I did write a short review on the front of our site. It was a ton of fun. I think it's going to be a great game, especially for the Wii. The only issue I had is sometimes you have a lot of ground to cover, and Mickey only runs a certain speed, and some of these levels are quite big. So I spent 2 or 3 minutes sometimes just like running around stairs trying to find my way to a certain door, having a sprint button or something like that.
Right. Well, in a game like Epic, when you know it's epic and the levels themselves are epically big, you really need something to traverse a little bit faster. You need to be able to get around with some speed outside of just standard movement speed.
So I did talk to the guy about that. I'm like, hey, is there any chance they're going to offer this? He's like, I don't know, probably not.
No, it's coming out in like a month.
Yeah, so probably they're not going to do any real changes to it. But I still think it's going to be a good game. I played that. We got hands-on in Tron.
That was fun, and I want it to be good. But then again, you know, it's a movie game. And
the thing is, it's beautiful. Especially on the Wii, it even looked good. But we watched some people doing the bike racing combat type mini game on the Wii, and that looked like fun. We didn't do that. We got over to the PS3 and the 360 editions of it, and it was one of the sharpest looking games I've seen all show. It just looked amazing. We did a scene where we were on some sort of a bike trying to escape, and it reminded me of Battletoads in the sense that trying to get out of there, it was like a quick time reaction thing. Not quick time, but you have to react to what's falling at you.
You're memorizing patterns.
Yeah, and so it was like for us, it was a lot of drive and crash. You know, we got through that part, drive and crash. But it was a lot of fun. I think we got some video of that on your, I'm sure you're going to be putting it up on your site because I didn't record any of that. He had a nice camera, I didn't. And so that was a lot of fun. I really think that this is going to be a game worth renting and playing. I think it'll be fun, but I think it's going to be one of these kind of on the rails type games.
Mm-hmm.
And so who knows? I'm excited about the movie. I will definitely be playing the game. That was cool.
So we got hands on with another game that I think impressed all of us, and that was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
That's what I want to bring up.
So definitely. What did you think of that multiplayer, Danny?
Well, I didn't even know they were coming out with another Assassin's Creed, and to be honest, I haven't been interested in Assassin's Creed since the first game. I just didn't do it for me, so when I was going in, I was like, I'm just going to hang with these guys and go ahead and play it. You know, I wasn't expecting much, and wow, I was just blown away.
Yeah, what we played was the multiplayer, and it was actually kind of cool. They had 8, they had 16 consoles set up. 8 of them were linked up PlayStations, and 8 were linked up Xboxes. We actually ended up playing on the Xboxes, and they played 7 demoers, and then they had a frag doll. The frag dolls are a bunch of basically hot gamer chicks who know how to game. It's like they do tryouts there. Like it's a big deal, I guess, in the gaming world. I don't know. She was cute enough, I guess. But long story short, so she kind of said, "Hey, this is what you're doing." We all were wearing Triton headsets, which are phenomenal headsets. Started going through. We start playing, and she told us, "Hey, whoever takes first place in this, or second place, if of course I win,
whatever.
Then you get put into a raffle to win one of these headsets." And we're like, okay. So we start playing, and we did. We smoked the hell out of her. We actually had it was the three of us,
she won
three
right
other
us.
Guys, and Ala Douche, who's also a writer for Sarcastic Gamer, really really nice guy, not as douchey as you would think. We played. And actually, it was a lot of. It's a really fun game. It's a game of almost rock, paper, scissors in the way that it's like I'm chasing you, you're chasing somebody else is chasing somebody else, and somebody else is chasing me. And you're looking for your target, trying to assassinate your target in a city filled with people that look like your target and other targets. And someone out there is hunting you. So you're trying to both evade and escape, but you don't know when someone's on you until they either, if they're sneaky enough, you're assassinated before you know it. And if they if they're not as good, if they run and alert you, you know, if they're too close to you and they try and like run to stab you, you get a quick warning. And if you're fast enough or able to get away, you score points that way as well. Long story short, it was a really really fun demo.
Yeah, and I know my man Danny really liked it. So I mean multiplayer games are tough to as a tough nut to crack if you're not really into them. Because you have to be so fast and so reactive of everything, but this one had a different kind of element to it. It was more strategic, right? And that,
yeah, it was great. You have a little bit of time to kind of get the feel for your area and kind of hunt your target down. There's some great tension, you know, building as far as you know who's going to assassinate you and where your target is. It's you know the strategy is just awesome.
Uh-huh.
You're not. It's not like you know. Respawn, get shot, respawn, get shot for, you know, I'll be the first to admit I suck at shooters, and it's just not fun online because you don't really get a chance to even get a strategy thought up, and this is something totally different.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. What ended up happening, a la douche was actually winning, he and then someone else was in second, I was in third, thanks to some awesome gaming moves by myself, just natural ability, gaming expertise, I had bigger balls than everyone else, you know, all the great things that make Farva Farva. I ended up jumping to the lead with 2 seconds, won the match, got my ticket for the raffle, which was going off in half an hour. I waited around and watched this, it's a Wii thing, but it's called Dance Hero 2, Dance something.
Just Dance? Is that
just
what it is?
Dance 2.
Okay.
Which was... retarded.
Why would you bring Just Dance 2 to a show that's gonna have Dance Central in it?
I know. What? Or why would you make that a raffle prize for the guy that won the fucking Assassin's Creed Brotherhood match? Yeah, those don't mix.
That's where they were holding. That's where they decided they wanted to hold the raffle, and that's fine. I watched that. It was fun to watch, but it's not something I'm gonna buy. It's just stupid. But anyway, so I ended up losing the raffle by one number. The guy who must have won after me won it. And it was a nice trade headset. And I was heartbroken, too, because the girl was up there reading it. And she was reading it slow. She's like, 8, 8, 5, 1, 9. And for some reason, she looked at me right when she, like, the last digit. She looked right in my eyes and went, 6. And she I had like, 5. And I was boom. Like, fuck!
Crack you right in the face.
And I was, like, right at the front of the stage, so I can see this gorgeous headset, and the dude standing, like, 2 behind me is like, yeah! And I was like, fuck you! I was so mad.
You should have assassinated him.
Oh, I was pissed. But anyway, so I didn't win that, but Assassin's Creed was great. Another game I did play I got some time with the Kinect.
Yep.
Real quick, the driving game on the Kinect sucks.
Sucks balls.
The boxing game looks pretty good. The dancing one was actually pretty intuitive. I did some dancing on it. Because no one else would do it, so I got up there and I won. They gave me a towel after getting up there and sweating, and I did sweat.
Oh, I still got that video. I gotta post that.
But it was me, and it was fairly intuitive and a lot of fun. I really think that's gonna be kind of a sleeper hit for the Kinect.
I think it might be a system seller for the Kinect. Honestly, I mean, this is a bunch of dudes that are not in the dance demographic, you know, and we're all impressed with it. What about, you know, people with kids?
Yeah, anyone can learn how to do what they did, and it's just a follow along. It's a sharp setup, and it really did react well.
What I think is great about it is let's get back to Just Dance 2. They're just giving you ways to creatively waggle the controller.
Yeah, I mean, you could just throw them in the air.
Go to a club and do that shit and see what happens to you. But Dance Central, they're teaching you real dance moves.
Yeah.
So if you're so inclined, eventually you're going to be able to, I mean, don't go in and, like, do the sprinkler.
Right. Well, you can do the, they have the freestyle parts of the, but I mean, do whatever you want.
But I now feel, thanks to this Dance Central for the Kinect, I now feel comfortable enough in any situation that Poker Face by Lady Gaga comes on the radio or the speakers or whatever, I feel comfortable enough to say that I could dance my ass off.
Yeah, throw up those say what arms, dude.
I will throw up the say what. I will rock those hips. I got this down.
I think Farva wants to take a ride on our disco stick.
Disco stick, dude. It was fun. It was really fun.
Okay, so after that, we got some time with Killzone 3. And what I thought about Killzone 3 was that it was Killzone 2.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, there were certain little hitches that nobody really knew how to do because we all had played Killzone 2. So we all played it exactly like Killzone 2.
So what was the I know there was one thing that they could have done to make the experience a little better that they didn't do.
Put it on the 360.
No.
That's okay, two things. But the other thing,
the camera a little bit higher.
Up a little bit.
How hard would have that been?
Yeah, and like it was funny, there was a guy walking around in a Killzone Hellgast uniform, and he was walking around and he was taking pictures of people. And I told him that I was surprised that his face wasn't inside of his chest. And I don't think he quite got the reference because he probably is just some dude that they picked up. He might have been Vinny. I don't know. But but it probably just some dude.
I don't have my weapon.
Just put this.
Can I borrow someone else's weapon?
Anyways, but he was like pointing to his crotch and pointing to his face, and I was like, no.
No one's gonna do that. No, just go away now, sir. Thank you for the picture.
Yeah,
go
thank
away.
You. I'm not gonna, suck your dick. Just keep on walking.
Yeah, I mean, put the camera a little bit higher, and we don't feel 4 feet tall, and that could have.
Made
a huge difference.
The other thing they could have done for the demo, at least, was to put all of them in 3D. They had like 8 3D setups there, only for the single player side of it. None for the multiplayer. It would have been cool for everybody to get a chance to see that, but you had to get in a certain line and play only the single player to really experience that. I've heard it's incredible. I might see if I can get a crack at it today, but I don't know. I've seen 3D gaming, and I know what it is, so it's not going to be anything all that shocking for me.
Speaking of 3D, I did try out Gran Turismo 5 3D, and
did you?
So did Farva. And let me say, it was really underwhelming.
Really?
Yeah.
Watching it
from behind when he was playing, it was blurry.
Yeah.
I knew I couldn't see it, so I knew 3D was working. And what was your opinions once you actually had the glasses on?
You get the glasses on, and it really doesn't look any different than the game does normally. I didn't really get a sense of depth.
Really?
Wow.
I heard that was the one, too.
No, it may as well have just been another 2D game. And maybe that's just an indicator of it was the 3D was so good that it tricked my mind into just thinking everything was normal and I wasn't noticing anything. But I doubt it.
That's probably not it.
No. I really think it was more a matter of...
Well, and they had a setup where you sit in a chair, you got pedals and everything. So maybe cute
Asian chick.
Maybe we were too close to the screen for it to work as well as it should have, but yeah, I didn't...
This 3D stuff, you kind of need to be looking at the screen at a certain angle to really get into it. Like, I have it on my computer, and if I'm offset a little bit from where I'm usually sitting, just even a little bit, then I can't see anything in 3D. But anyway, so you guys walked around. You guys played Gran Turismo 5. Did you play anything else?
Yeah, I did. We played a couple other things. I'm actually drawing a blank on some of them right now. What else did we play, game-wise? I know I went around. I took a lot of pictures with a lot of, like, the cosplay stuff. We're here. I know Comic-Con is where a lot of people really dress up. I was surprised by how many costumes I saw here. Some really good ones. Like, I got a picture. I think my favorite picture of all was me, actually, with the evil female Shepard.
Yeah.
From Mass Effect 2. She had, like, little marks on her face and everything. And she was shooting me in the head. That was kind of fun. And then I had, I described her, I'm like, excuse me, miss. Awkwardly hot predator chick. Because this chick was dressed up like a predator, but it was all, like, fishnet stocking and really cute. But on the same note, she had like the predator face, head, dreads thing. So my brain was like yes, and then my party was like no, and I was like But anyway, we took a picture with her. She was really nice. Really, she was like I'm sitting there standing there taking the picture, and she's like talking to me, like laughing at me, and stuff while we're taking the photo. She was really cool. And the nice thing is there were some like Need for Speed, whatever it is called, the latest one, Wanted or
Hot Pursuit.
Yeah, they had just girls model beautiful in skin-tight latex, basically painted on outfits, standing around. And I was actually noticing, I saw them and I was like, oh, booth babes, whatever. But watching like the people who went out and dressed up and created their own costumes, it was like a passion for them.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to like kind of fill these roles and like take on those personas. They were the most fun. Like, I had a blast like noticing people, and you talk to just about everybody, and they're like, excuse me, Princess Peach, can I take a picture with you? And they're like, sure. And they kind of feel, and they give you the little kiss on the cheek and the whole thing.
My favorite costumes of the show were these two gentlemen. They were like a steampunk version of Mario and Luigi, and they just I mean, the craftsmanship in their costumes was just amazing.
Yeah, Luigi had the glasses with the different colored lenses on it, like he was, you know, like he was Sherlock Holmes or something.
And the little green hat.
Yeah. And, no, that was really cool.
That was awesome.
I think the last game that we really got a whole lot of hands-on with, that I got hands-on with, was Dragon Age 2. That I got in there and I got a chance to play it, and I played it on the PS3 and I kept looking over my shoulder at the 360 version to see how they were stacking up graphically. Let's just say, if you have a choice, get this on the 360 or the PC, because they were talking about it to me as I was playing it, and they were asking me how I liked it and stuff, and the combat is very different. Okay, so it's not your God of War type button masher. You take your controller and you have different abilities mapped to each of the face buttons, and as you hit them, they have a recharge timer, and so you have to use all of them if you're going to be effective in combat. There's a slash move, there's a spike move, there's a spin move, and you can't just rotate around. It takes at least a few seconds for each one of these things to recharge. And they also were talking about the PC version. And Farva, did you play the PC version of Dragon Age 2?
No, I did not get to play any of the Dragon Age 2 because
How'd that happen?
All right. The Dragon Age 2, I guess the demo was like a half hour long. That's what people are saying.
Well, it's the whole experience is a half an hour long.
Yeah.
What happens is you get in, there's two sections to their booth and it's closed off. The first section is sort of a theater where everybody sits down and there's a guided tour through the game where they show you how it goes. And then once that's done, they move you into the room where you're actually playing it.
Yeah, so it takes a while. And so the line's going really slow. I wasn't able to get in. You ended up trading somebody's badge for a media badge because they
needed... Oh, a douche. They needed to use my computer.
He needed to use the computer. So in order to get into the computer room that we rented, you got his media badge. He got your computer badge. And so you wind up and like, hey, you know, I'm media. Can I maybe go set up an appointment for tomorrow? And the guy's like, no, walk through right now. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So he goes in and he plays. And like, I don't. And...
I didn't. Well, you were up there doing your thing too. You could have been that guy too, far, but you just didn't want to.
I did not have a media badge, but it's okay.
Anyway, so it was great because the guy's like, come on in, and you can come in and watch the game being played. But I don't know if there's a station open for you. And so I walk through the theater, and I walk into the theater, and I'm standing there looking, and the guy's like waving me through. He's like, you don't need to like sit here and watch. And so he just waves me through in the other room, and there's an empty console right there for me. I was like, hey, can I just jump on that one? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they're like just so super nice to me because all of a sudden I've got a yellow badge, and that means I'm somebody, and I'm going to write an article about this.
You are somebody, Dan.
We are going to write an article about it.
But the Dragon Age 2, you know, after hearing all the talk about it, I was a little skeptical, but I still had hope and faith that BioWare would pull it off. This type of combat, this is a game that I can get into. The story, there's a lot of story elements that they were showing. There's the wheel of conversation that made an appearance in the demo too. All those things, Dragon Age. And what they said was that if you're a PC player of Dragon Age Origins, not to worry if you like that strategic, you know, pause, strategize type gameplay. That's still going to be there. I from what I heard, it wasn't going to be there anymore. But that's still going to be there if you want it there. This action, the new action, the sort, it's more visceral. It's more you're right up there and you feel like you're doing it instead of you're just telling your guy to do it. It really plays well, and I might just pick it up on the 360 just because it's going to be more fun doing that action stuff on the 360 than the PC.
Visceral is a word I would use to describe Farva.
I am quite visceral.
If nothing else, he is visceral. But that was basically our PAX experience.
Well, real quick, there's a couple other games that I just want to throw out there. Keep your eyes on. Some of these I didn't get to get hands on, but I did get to see screen, or I heard other people talking about Duke Nukem, the new one. I have a bunch of people just bragging on it, saying if you like Duke Nukem 3D, this game is going to be amazing. And I think Dave at Sarcastic Gamer, he's writing an article now on it. It's probably up right now as we speak. But he said he was just in love with it. We met up with him last night and hung out, had a couple drinks with him. Also, Dead Space 2 looked incredible. It was mind-blowing. It really, really, really looked good. Yeah. There was a game called The Hunted that I saw that I'm a little bit intrigued about. Essentially, it's... You got a melee character with a big guy with a sword, and a ranged character, a chick with a bow and arrow. You're being hunted, and these planes, there's monsters and things like that. But it was very pretty.
Yeah.
And so that, and I'd never even heard of that, so that kind of got my attention. The new Fallout 3, New Vegas, you guys play. You weren't super excited with it, but that's because you guys got, you think maybe it's because you got stuck in an area of the demo you guys maybe shouldn't have been in.
Yeah, it was pretty desolate where we were. I mean, I was running around forever looking for something to shoot. And what's funny is they set you up on this demo with all these great guns. Like, there's a goddamn machine gun grenade launcher. And so you can, and there's like, and the clip size is about 30 or 40. And so you can just sit there and lay waste to anything, just dropping grenades off, and then you just see all these explosions come up. I mean, that's just cool. That's just cool, and that's just fun, but I had nothing to really shoot with it. I mean, I killed a couple of guys, but it wasn't all that hot.
So, you know, I'm still going to keep an eye on that. But anyway, so those were some other games that we just kind of looked at and were like, wow, those have potential to really be good.
And then there was one more that I saw that really blew me away, and it's the biggest surprise to me at this show, and it's between this and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, the multiplayer, the best thing that I've played here, and that's Bastion. And that's going to be an Xbox Live game. It sounds like they're going to be releasing it for multiple consoles. It is a Zelda-like game that takes on the style of anime, but the storyline is that, in the same sense of like a Limbo, you wake up, you don't really know what's going on, but all you know is that you've got to get to the Bastion. That's where you know that you've been told that if there's something going wrong, go to the Bastion. And as you go through the level, it builds the level. You're walking, and the level comes up in front of your feet. And it's an action RPG. You have levels. You're leveling up like an RPG. You're attacking like you would in a Link to the Past kind of Zelda game. But it's not a top down. It's an isometric like Dragon Age or like Torchlight. But it controls with a 360 controller, and it was. I mean, the art style was fantastic. It was smooth, and they're not even halfway done with it yet. When you look at the game and you watch it being played, you kind of get the idea that it's a cool game. It looks like it's a fun game to play. You put on the headset and you start listening to it, because they just had the headsets. They didn't have the coming through the speakers. The entire experience transforms. It is, they have this old Western infused with rock music kind of thing that they're doing. And this narration that is dynamic narration. He is narrating the game as you go through it. And if you dispense of a boss really fast, it'd be like, the narrator would be like, and then he took that guy apart. And then if you're getting your ass kicked, he's like, he has some trouble with this one. And then like, if you fall off a ledge and die, it'd be like, and then he fell off a ledge and died. It's just really cool to hear it. And then what's funny is like, if you fall off a ledge and die, I don't think there's lives in this. So you could just have infinite lives. So you just pop back up. And he's like, nah, I'm just kidding. And then you just keep on going. And you pick up all the, and then it's skill based. There's shops. It's a deep, deep, deep game, and man, I can't wait to play the full version of Bastion. It's great. It was part of the PAX 10, which is an independent, a group of 10 independent developed games that they're showing off as a competition there at PAX, and so there's other ones too. But that was maybe my favorite game of the show, at least so far.
All right, so that was PAX. One last thing about our little weekend I want to talk about was last night we got a bunch of guys together. We went out and saw a movie. We didn't have time to do a bad movie drinky-drinky, couldn't set that up. But we saw a great bad movie. New release, just come out. It's a B-movie. It knows it's a B-movie. A lot of nudity, a lot of over-the-top, ridiculous, are you kidding me, violence.
Yeah.
Machete. Machete, starring Danny Trejo, and it had in it some, I mean, it had Robert De Niro, Lindsay Lohan, Don Johnson, Cheech Marin, Danny Trejo, Jessica Alba, Michelle Rodriguez, and other guys like that I recognized but couldn't give you the names of. It was the dumbest movie I have ever seen, and it deserved the slow clap that we gave it at the end. It was hilarious in the I cannot believe they honestly just did that kind of way. had a great time. We were, you know, just making jokes through it the whole. It was a great movie, and we already know there's an internet meme coming. We're gonna tell you, you've heard it here first, and that is Machete don't, like, there's a scene and it's Machete don't text. And I guarantee you, it's there. You're going to start seeing all over the internet, Machete don't, add whatever verb
blank,
you like.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, Machete don't, I don't know, eat or whatever. I don't,
Machete
yeah.
don't podcast.
Machete don't react to forum argument or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's gonna. You're going to see a lot of that coming up. I don't recommend, this is a great movie to see in groups with a bunch of people or even a little bit with an altered state of mind.
Yeah, don't see it with your girl.
No.
Don't take her on a date night to Machete.
Oh, awkward.
Don't take your kids. that would
be horrible.
That would be horrible.
That would be life-changing. Life. Yep.
I mean, there are just, yeah. There are things where it's so bad that it's funny, and they knew they were doing it. Like, there was a particular scene.
Oh, it's totally on purpose.
Yeah, there was a total scene where a table basically goes by some people, and you can see underneath the table, and no one's there. And then the guys turn around, they're like, oh, the table's empty. They turn around, they're facing the other way. And then all of a sudden the scene cuts to the table, and you see him, like, Machete crawling out from under it. It's like, he wasn't there. Are you kidding me?
And it's not even smooth. He's not, like, rolling out like he's an actor. Yeah. He's, like, crawling and dragging himself out.
I mean,
he's so old.
It's very obvious that it's very...
Oh, Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal! Oh,
badass.
He was the bad guy in this one.
I've never seen anyone impaled in this. I could kill you right now. This ain't shit. Yeah. So good.
Yeah, yeah, well, no spoiler alert. We won't be talking about that.
Spoiler, so good.
So, guys, get out there and see that. If you got a group of guys, see it. If not, your best bet is to wait until this motherfucker gets on Netflix Instant, and we will definitely make it a bad movie drinking drinky, because if we're drinking to drinking rules with this thing...
you will be drunk in 15 minutes.
In 15?
Hammered. So hammered.
That opening scene was just a cavalcade of drinking opportunities.
Yes.
The whole
so
thing,
much
we,
violence.
We'd be over with, but we'd be passed out by the time they even showed the word machete on the screen.
Yeah, I don't know how hard I laughed through that movie. It was a good movie, so... Good, great, horrible, bad movie.
And we had about 14 guys that came with this. I mean, it turned into a huge event at PAX, was to come see this movie. And it was really awesome to get everybody together and sort of, in the spirit of bad movie drinky drinky, even though it really wasn't one, go see a horrible movie that we could all laugh at, and lots of violence and lots of tits, and just enjoy the hell out of it.
I agree. So, that's pretty much going to be it for our little, like, summary of... PAX. I don't know if we'll be recording Monday.
Yeah, we'll record a show this week, and Farb and I will go through what we saw on Sunday. This is Sunday morning, and, you know, it'll be posted pretty soon here. But we're gonna head out of the show and just sort of catch up on things that we might have missed, and do a little bit more looking around and just have some more fun, and then we'll report on that fun, and of course the entire show again on the Game Lounge, coming out this Wednesday.
Yep, so Undead, thank you so much for being here and hanging out with us. It has been an honor to meet you, fall in love with you, appreciate you as both a man and an artist. And it's great. I don't know where the human stops and the creation begins. It's been a wonder to know you. So thank you so much for hanging out with us and dropping your 3 cents into this little podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. And, you know, I have to say, I kind of have a man crush on Farva, too. He's a great guy. He's real handsome.
Very handsome.
He's kind of slutty, which is good.
So, and transvestites love him.
Yeah, they think he's charming.
Transvestites think I'm charming. I'm just the Farva.
But it's been great to see you again, Fish. And,
yeah.
And spend this time meeting everybody, and I've had a blast.
Good. Yeah, and we'll do it all again next year. We're going to get everybody out here next year. Jitterbug Nerves, all those boys, and Mutton Chop will be coming out from Australia. You know, as much fun as this was, next year's going to be 10 times more fun. So that's something to look forward to for sure. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for our PAX cast here, and we will see you guys again on Wednesday.